Welcome to the Dad's Night Podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm Tommy Reed.
Tonight we're joined by LA Kings legend, hockey royalty, and two-time Stanley Cup winner Matt Green. We'll talk about growing up in Michigan, his journey to the NHL, winning the greatest trophy in sports, and raising kids. We'll also recap the last 3 weeks. We have a new sponsor for Friends of the Pod. This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network.
Love that music. I haven't heard it in a while, so that was great.
I'm pretty excited today because actually this is probably the first pod where Something's Brewing starts the entire pod. So this is going to be great.
I mean, let's just start off with Something's Brewing. Chris, what are you drinking right now? Because that was a beautiful sound right there.
Yeah, thank you. This is a bottled beer taste in a can. This is a Keystone Light brought to us by our guest, Matt Green, from the Midwest.
Wow.
And I've been on a run, Tommy. I was in Minnesota, as you know. It was a murderer's row. I was sending you pictures. We had some Schmitz. We had some Blatz. We had some Old Style. We had some Grain Belt, the local favorite.
Love that.
Now I'm drinking Keystone Light. And probably by the end of this pod, I think we're going to crack into some ice cold Rainier that are in that fridge as well.
Did you bring that all back for the one and only, Matt Green?
You know what? I've had that Rainier over here on the counter or in the garage for 5 months, and I just put it in the fridge for, tomorrow's pod that we're doing today.
There it is. And that's just how you do it. You've got to be prepared.
You got to be prepared. You never know.
You never know
when Matt Green's going to show up a day early with a 30-pack of beers. And he just couldn't wait to do the pod. And it's unfortunate because you're doing Prolon this week. Can you describe for the audience what this ridiculous thing is, Prolon?
Yeah, I am doing a cleanse because I'm fat. And when you're fat, you got to quickly get off some weights, jumpstart your weight loss. Mm-hmm. And so it's a 5-day soup and nut bar diet that is very boring.
It's brutal.
You go to bed really early on Prolon, and you get really not angry or hangry, just kind of like.
Well, you do seem
things are irritated a little bit easier than normal. But
you're irritated with me right now. I can tell as soon as you walked in.
I appreciate this zero calorie Propel they gave me, so I can watch you guys just pound these tall boys.
Something's not brewing right now.
No,
for Tommy
I feel like
Reed.
I'm left out. I'm in the corner. Now I am in the corner.
You are. We're waiting to see what happens. You did. I was able to delve into some gifts left by our friend of the pod, Nick Fasano. So you've got a little Kiva pineapple habanero. We're going to wait for that to kick in.
Thank you very much. And if I start cutting you off, it's because it's kicking in. So, very excited. You guys should be enjoying these beers. I wish I could partake.
Matt, I got to say, this is one of the best tasting beers I've ever had. This is just tremendous.
It's delicious.
I'm so happy drinking it right now.
Yeah. You can see the smile.
Sorry,
you guys are awesome.
Sorry,
you guys are great. Where is Keystone Light from?
Colorado.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's a Coors product.
It is now, yeah.
Yeah.
When we were at Dawn's birthday party, July 4th, I met a guy named Matt who's friends with my neighbor, and he used to work for Molson Coors, and he was giving me the rundown of how all these little breweries just ended up being part of like three companies. But
well, Schmitz, I found out this weekend when Scott Van Cleet was wearing a Schmitz T-shirt, and he had a... like a bass on it or something like that. He said Past Blue Ribbon bought them out, which I didn't know about.
Yeah.
So,
and they own Hams. Where does Scott get a Schmitz t-shirt? That's tremendous.
And he had a couple different Hams hats that I was very impressed with.
You know, nothing about Scott Van Cleef surprises
friend
me.
Friend of the pod.
We're both wearing our Hams hat today, given to us by a friend of the pod, Robbie, owner of Grunions.
Friend of the pod.
Got us some great swag.
Thank you, Robbie.
We look good, Tommy. We look good. I know you're not happy, but you look great.
Hey, you know what? Let's just get into our 3Ws section. Okay, where are you going, what you doing, and what you're excited about? Brought to you by Postal.io. Hey, dads, what's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? But, of course, sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts with Postal's offline marketing software. Postal helps companies create meaningful connections at scale while tracking it all in your CRM. Learn more and get a free trial at postal.io/dads. All right, Chris, what are you excited about? You just got back from Minnesota, so you're excited about the beer, obviously.
I was excited.
How much beer did you consume? Like, would you say a 30-pack a day?
It was probably in range. I am the only person to ever go to Minnesota and lose weight. I weighed myself before and after.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just really, I mean, you, I was just dedicated to the workouts and the food I stepped away from. You know, I think we've talked about
all the fried foods in Minnesota you stepped away from.
I mean, I did deep frying one day. So I deep fried pickles, cheese curds, Snickers, waffles, Twinkies.
That'll get you to lunch.
That gets you to lunch. But, well, you know what? Sometimes when you're standing in front of the deep fryer, as you do, you're not very hungry, like the smell and the heat and the thickness and the whatever. So I just, but I did drink to balance it. I probably would have lost 10 pounds had I not drinking probably 25 to 30 tasty beverages a day.
So is there a deep fryer always on the counter?
So no. No, it's kept in the garage.
Okay.
They're not heathens.
Safety first.
Yeah, safety first. So I did. My brother-in-law, Mike, used to bring one up because he lives in Minneapolis, and then he forgot last year, so I went to Walmart and I bought the Cabot deep fryer.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's nice. It's got two little baskets in it, and deep fryers tend to short out the outlet, so you're constantly working the breaker, but, you know, people are happy, and, you know, the pickles, I felt like you need a vegetable, so it was...
Wow.
It was a lot. One night, my brother-in-law did two kinds of brisket. My other brother-in-law, Sam, cooked, he made tacos. He made, you know, smash burgers. It's a lot. There's a meal called Greasy. What's that?
And you didn't eat any of this?
I just really just kind of, like, dialed it back. I kept eating beef jerky.
Beef jerky and beer. Yeah. That was your extent of Minnesota trip.
Yeah.
Did you pull any tabs?
Laney pulled some tabs. I sent you a picture. Yeah. We went to a bar called Bimbo's, where Amy and I also had our rehearsal dinner 10 years ago next week.
Bimbo's.
Bimbo's, it's called. And so they're known for their pizza called Georgia Special, which is like peppers and sausage. Always, always with the sausage. Wait, no matter what.
Peppers?
Like
green peppers?
Nah, what are those peppers? Like the banana peppers you get in like a jar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Pepperoncinis, yeah. So okay. We went to Bimbo's. Laney got some pulled tabs. I had a Schmitz in a bottle. It's fantastic. I had the bear on it, this one. Oh, nice. Yeah, Minnesota.
All right.
So there's, there's 6 bedrooms and 47,000 family members. So it was just relaxing. Good trip.
Is there air conditioning or is it just the old-fashioned fan moving around?
There, one room has like a window air conditioning, yep. And then one of the houses has central air, but the majority of it is no.
So there's a lot of humidity and bugs.
Oh, my God. Bugs, dude.
Is there a bug zapper nearby? I love
there's
the
no,
sound of a
no bug,
bug
zapper.
Zapper.
You're just spraying DEET on yourself like fucking Agent
See,
Orange.
Like, that to me was like payback when you hear the bug zapper.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't have a bug zapper. They have everything else.
And then you get that one bug that is stuck in there and it just goes on till it's so burnt out. It just
yeah,
stops.
Yeah, you go up and talk shit to him.
That's fucking
like,
great.
Fuck you, dude. For
love a bug zapper.
Yeah, so Amy was there for 2 weeks. I was there for 6 days. I had to come home, and we talked about this in pre-production, but I am currently retired.
Congratulations.
There you go. Congratulations is right.
I'm a full-time podcaster.
That's amazing.
Which has always been my dream ever since I was a little kid.
Well-earned.
Yeah. I just needed them to be invented, and here we are. So it's been great. I was out running today. I told Matt, smiling at everybody, you know, played a little pickle today.
That's awesome.
With a friend of the pod, Mark Monpaw.
So you're just hovering around the club right now. You're just kind of lingering around.
I'm just at the club. I walked in. I turned in my computer Friday morning. I played pickleball 4 days in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes well.
Okay.
Not today, though.
Well, we have to have a little tournament there going on.
We should do it. Friend of the pod tourney.
Well, I like it. I also like that, I didn't really have any bug bites on myself here because I used a bunch of off.
Nice.
When I was at El Capitan this weekend and had a great, great trip. We did the Reed Bubble group trip.
Yeah.
Where I book it a year in advance, of course. I'm a planner. And,
you're very scheduled.
And I booked...
Unlike Matt Green.
No. So we booked... we had 28 families go up to El Cap and just had a great time. Got in there Thursday, left Sunday, and I'm out early. You know, like there's no mimosas or Bloody Mary Sunday morning. I want to get out.
Yeah.
Like quick.
You got to get home and start proline.
So,
you're a task oriented individual.
Yeah, as soon as I hear the the first kid on the bike at 7:30 in the morning, I'm up.
Yeah.
And I'm packing the car. We're out. But it was great. We played kickball, had a really intense game on Saturday. We Team Bigfoot, which is coached by Matt Paddock. We lost 17-15 to team. We were Team Ironfoot. We lost to Team Bigfoot.
Mm.
And Eric Pritz was our coach and our captain.
Great coach.
And it came down to the ninth inning. We were up 15-12, and they did a rally on us. And it goes three kids bat and then an adult. And they just put on the works that top of the ninth. So here we go, bottom of the ninth. We have men on third.
Mm-hmm.
No out.
Down two?
Down two.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even get him in.
Oh,
it was
disheartening because it looked like a fun trip.
It was
great. Pictures, but was, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, no wonder you packed up early.
Yeah, you know, it was. And then we go over to the pool, and the pool's locked. It's closed.
There's a pool here?
As a pool at El Capitan. It's glamping. It's glamping. It's you're camping inside like cabins with king size beds,
mm-hmm.
and pull out couches, mm-hmm. and you actually have like a nice little like crappy ass shower, but it's a shower, so you can take a poop
hey,
and
beggars
pee
camping.
In the
yeah.
in the privacy of your own cabin,
which
and,
is great.
Then you know do whatever you got to do. But there's a little mini fridge and a microwave, so that's just glamping for you.
Yeah.
Earlier that morning, I started doing a jackknife contest with my buddy, friend of the pod, Van Hess.
Ooh, co-coach.
Yep. And so we were sitting there with our kids, and they were
in the pool.
Yeah. It was about 10:30 in the morning. We wanted to squat and literally get some positioning for that afternoon of like getting down like all the pool chairs and everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, the kids are in the deep end. I'm walking to the shallow end, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? I'm like, there's a lot of fucking dirt in the pool over here.
Oh, no.
And I all of a sudden I kicked up a little piece and I picked it up and I'm like, that's not fucking dirt. So there I go. I spend the next half hour.
It's like Caddyshack.
I spend the next half hour just skimming shit.
Oh.
And like, it was just, so they had to close the pool down and shock the shit out of it. And we couldn't use
like,
the pool
literally.
Saturday. Yeah, literally.
This doesn't sound very glamorous.
I think some kids may have gotten pink eye or red eye from the fucking water. But that was...
What's the specific name of this campground?
El Capitan.
Oh, God.
El Capitan Canyon. Yeah, otherwise, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, like, El Cap was great. Had, the Van Cleaves put on this Santa Maria grill.
Mm-hmm.
They had rack
pictures,
of lamb.
Yeah.
They had tri-tips.
Mm-hmm.
They had these prime steaks. It was just it was a what of meat. And those are great sounds coming from Matt Green's corner, by the way, folks.
This is the first time we've had a cooler.
That's like beer number three. He's lining them up.
Well,
like
listen,
the
it's 4 feet
right
to
now.
The fridge, and Matt and I are right here, so we got the Coleman cooler. It's great.
It's fantastic. So that's what I was excited about. I had a great trip at El Capitan. We hope to get you both there one day. A lot of requests coming from friends of the pod about where's the Parrish family.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know.
Bad scheduling this year. We'll be there next year.
Okay, good.
Unless there's poop in the pool. I don't want to
hear that. I'm sure there was. I think like after it got cleaned out, it's probably the cleanest it's been all year.
Yeah.
So that's what happened at El Cap. All right, folks. Well, here we go. We have a legend in the pod HQ today.
Mm-hmm. Long time coming for this one.
Long time. I've been positioning a long time. You know, it was on the vision board early. At 2021, yeah. And
you had actually a Matt Green specific vision board.
Actually,
you had two vision boards.
I have a couple Matt Green visions on the board,
mm-hmm.
Not knowing that one was going to be the podcast.
Yeah,
so
we hadn't invented it yet.
It hasn't. Well, we were talking about it.
We had the
idea back in November, and then I put it out there. I'm like, we're going to have a hip podcast, which we do.
Yep.
We're still international right now.
This is crazy. This is like I was literally thinking this week, downloading Duolingo. And learning German, so we can do our German version for our friends in the pod.
I mean, I don't know what's going on there, but like Sprechen Sie Deutsch, man. Like,
listen, people are happy over there. That's all we know. And with the heat they're having over in Europe, you need something to cool you off. And what do you have? The coolest podcast on the planet.
You know, opening beers.
They're ready.
They're ready.
Anyway, this isn't about us.
Okay, you're right. We have none other than Matt Green, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Green in the house.
So I just want to
thank you.
So today is Monday, and I just want to paint a picture. Because you like to be early. We were talking about this, and typically not 24 hours early, but I was in the garage getting ready for tomorrow, and then I had the door closed, and then the door opens. I'm like, what's going on? And then I look out, and you've got a 30-pack, and Amy's waving at me. And so describe what it was like walking into my house 24 hours early, because I got dirty dishes in there. It's embarrassing. I was going to do them.
The door was open, and so I thought, well, hey, here we go.
Yeah.
It's podcast time. Mm-hmm. So I said, hello. and there was nothing. It's, hello, it's Matt. And then Amy came around the corner and said, oh, hi. I said, hey, how's it going? And I walked right into your house. And proceeded.
Which you're always welcome to do.
Proceeded to ask her about Minnesota and just kind of talk her ear off, just casually, before I was going to come in here and do the podcast.
Yeah.
And then the garage door opened, and I was greeted with, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can't do tomorrow.
No.
And now I'm embarrassed. And now it makes sense why Amy's like, what the hell are you doing here? And but she was very sweet, very kind, very welcoming.
She's a classy lady.
Yeah, very class. All
yeah.
class.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And then I called Tommy. And it worked. And I said, hey, get over here. He's like, what? Get over here. And then you were a little grumpy on the phone. It's because of your problem.
Yeah, but you just threw me a gummy and I'm like, fine.
Yeah, now you're great. Now you're, can I tell you something? You're an absolute delight right
and
now.
I really am. Because like, I like to prepare myself. And
you do.
Could go down a couple rabbit holes. Didn't have a chance to, but.
But you're so regimented that this is, it's like falling asleep in an old blanket right now.
You know, because there's so many stories to peel out of the greener.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can get him to talk and get him to open up these stories, we're going to be like here for hours.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm really excited because. Thank you for doing this. I know I've been twisting your arm for a long time. I appreciate you finally doing it.
Yeah. We finally had to threaten.
Yeah, I'm just, look, it's so exciting because there's so many things that I know we want to ask you and friends of the pod want to ask you. And, you know, the first one's going to be like, how'd you get into hockey? I know you're from Michigan, and whereabouts in Michigan are you from? Tell us how you got into the sport.
I grew up in Grand Ledge, Michigan, and I'm which is just west of Lansing. Chris knows that.
Rock climbing.
Yep. That's the best rock climbing in southern Michigan. Might be some of the only natural rock climbing in southern Michigan.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was right across the street and through my friend's backyard.
Oh wow.
And I can guarantee, I can say this with probably like 98% truth. That no one that I grew up with or went to high school with has ever rock climbing Grand Ledge.
Really?
I think that is strictly
it's for out of towners like me, because I've rock climbing.
Yeah, people coming there and being like, "Oh, this is awesome!" And then it's the rest of us sitting on the other side, and we used to shoot spud guns at them.
Right. I love those spud guns.
Yeah, and that is it. And then after growing up, you realize that the dads that were helping us load and fire and build the spud guns were really high and drunk at all times.
Kind of like this podcast, right?
Awesome
now.
Guys.
Let's get some spud guns.
Yeah. So grew up there. I'm the youngest of three. I have an older sister, older brother, myself. My dad played hockey growing up. He's from Boston. My mom's from Seattle. They met in the Peace Corps. And when they came back from West Africa, they chose Michigan State to go to grad school.
Hmm.
And then they started having a family, and they bought the place in Grand Ledge, and they never left.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. So that's where we ended up. And my dad played hockey, and growing up, really loved the game. Played 1 year in college at Providence, and
Friars.
Then, yeah, and his coach at that time was the legendary Lou Lamoriello, who went on to be the GM of the Devils, the Leafs, and now with the Islanders. And
I didn't realize he was a coach.
He was a coach for just at Providence. Yeah. That was it. And then I think at least. And then he got the job with Jersey right after that.
Stupid Devils.
It was always, that was always kind of like a legend that my dad always told me. He's like, yeah, no, that's who I played for. We're like, yeah, whatever. And so I got into the game just because my sister and my brother were already playing. And so I got tagged along to the rink all the time and just kept playing and really just never stopped. And that's how I got in the game and lucky enough to still be in it.
Who was your, I'm just asking, sorry, I didn't know the answer. Yeah. Who was your favorite player who got you into hockey?
Favorite player once I got into hockey was, and we've talked about this, we have the same one as the captain, Steve Eisenman.
Oh, number 19, baby.
Yeah.
We had my son, Vetter, which is a tremendous name, but I almost named him literally the captain. But I could only get 50% of the votes because Amy was like, no fucking, she didn't think I was serious. I'm like, no. His first name would be the captain.
Did it take you a while to tally those votes to make sure that it was?
Yes.
Or was it just one? Yeah.
It was more of like a middle finger, and you did this to me sort of thing.
But it's nice that she's direct.
She's
so you
class,
knew, yeah you knew where you stood.
She's. I love the captain, too. I talked about this with Ryan when he was on a couple months ago, and you told me a great story when we met at Tommy's house about the first time you went against the greatest hockey player of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm... not a good player, and he's at the end of his career. He's playing wing, and we line up next to each other, And I think it was in a decent game too. And after, I think the story gets funnier now, after myself kind of going through your career and realizing at the end you're not doing anything that you think that you, you know, you're not performing to the level you want to perform at.
Right.
And this guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players of all time, mm-hmm. and heroes to so many kids across of our generation.
Yeah.
And I think I just hit him like the shift before, and I said, hey, can I get a stick? And he just didn't even say a word, didn't even acknowledge anything. And like looking back on it now, I can tell he was just like, fuck you, yep. man. Like, come on. Are you yep. kidding me? I don't barely hanging on to be out here. You just took a run at me. I'm in my 40s. You're trying to prove yourself. Why are you hitting me? And now you're going to ask me for a stick. And looking back on it now, I'm embarrassed of it. But but I think it's kind of, yeah, that's of all the things you could take back at 22, that's on the list, but there's a lot more.
And he's still crushing it just as GM of the Red Wings now.
Oh, he's a stud. He's a stud.
He Every time last week I was texting you like, yeah. I was so excited. Anyway,
he's getting younger. I think every time you see him, I think he doesn't age, and he's just he's always in control. He's got that whole city and state behind him, and yeah. it's awesome. He's a pretty special human, and just to be able to kind of he's been a great role model for yep. a lot of young kids growing up, and it's awesome. Yep. It's awesome that he's back with the Wings. And. And he built those Tampa teams, too. Mm. And you never hear a word of complaint.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. He built the Tampa teams.
He built those teams. He left. If he would have stayed, I think he would have won for sure last year, or 2 years ago.
He would have won 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah. And,
well, he was sticking her. I always, yeah. I think he took that Tampa job. I don't know this, but because I kept thinking Ken Holland would retire.
Yeah.
And he just kept not doing it.
Yeah.
And, like, Yzerman coming back was like the dream. It's like Harbaugh from Michigan, right? Like, this is the greatest guy that we could possibly get. Don't smirk.
But it was timing, though, too. I think a lot of guys probably would have said, okay, I'll come back, but I'll come back in 2 or 3 years because we got a team. We can do some damage here. And,
yeah.
And he built it, and they've won, too. And you never hear a word out of Detroit. You never hear a word out of him saying, I built that team. I did that. I did this. Nope. I'm with Detroit. And now we're rebuilding Detroit. We're doing this, and it's all about the Wings, and it's all about, you know, representing that brand, that team, and the Ilitch family, and what an ambassador. Oh. So it's pretty special guy.
I love you, Stevie. Come on the pod.
Right. Did you ever have a chance to tell him that story, or have you had beers with him since?
No. I met him a couple times after, and we were at World Championships one time, and he was walking through. He was working with Team Canada, and I think I was cutting a stick or something. And I feel this big. Feel this big slap on my chest or on my belly or something, and he just goes, hey, Greener, how's it going? I just turn around and just look at him. I was like, hey, Stevie. And I turn back around, and it's all the kids on TV and say, how the fuck do you know Steve Yzerman? I was like, it's Michigan guys, you know? And meanwhile, I'm just pissing myself, you know?
Oh, my God.
And it's that was probably one of the coolest. I felt 10 feet tall at that time.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was awesome, yep.
So he's your idol?
I think he was every kid, seven to 8 years younger than us, if we're the mean, I think would say the exact same thing.
What made him so great as a player?
Just scored, and then
he could be physical too.
Yeah,
and he was a leader. Like he, you know. So back then, I mean, it was Gretzky, Lemieux, Yzerman,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and obviously I was a homer for Yzerman. Yep. And those two both scored more, but like Stevie was a much better two-way player.
But not early on, though. Not early on. Like Stevie.
Yeah, like 83 was drafted, right?
And yeah, but Stevie had years. He was 100. I'm calling him Stevie, like we're best buddies. Yeah. No, but
after the pod.
But he had years though of like scoring 150 points, and he was always up there. And then they came to him. They told him, hey, you got to change your game if you want to win. If you want a Stanley Cup and you want to do what you say you want to do, you got to change your game. You got to play more defensive, and you got to be the leader, and you got to be the guy that does it. So now Fedorov falls in line. Now all these other guys fall in line, and they start playing more defense. And he did it to his testimony. But like that whole team stays together. People always talk about, okay, well, how do you get all these great players on one team? And it's because no one made more than Stevie. And so Stevie was always, it was a team first, and then it was, okay, all right, Lindstrom makes a couple hundred grand less than him. And it just kind of went down after that, you know. And so that's why all these guys, he sets the bar. And that's what lets you have Brett Hull and Luke Robitaille on your third, fourth line. That's what lets you have Chelios on your bottom pair.
Yeah.
And it's everything started with him, and he did it. He changed his game. He delivered, and you know, it's hard to hear a bad word about him. I'm yet to hear one from from just about anybody after that point of where he just said, okay, all right, it's all about the team now. It's not about chasing points.
Is he from Michigan too?
No.
Canada.
He's Canada, Ontario. Yeah. Played in Peterborough. They drafted him, I think, third or fourth overall. And then from 83 all the way through, worked for the Wings for a bit, went to Tampa, and then came back. But, yeah, he's done it all. He's a pretty special guy.
Did you, you're on the Kings, right? And did you or the players have, like, a similar revelation of, like, hey, we're getting close, we want to win some championships? Obviously, you've been in the league for a few years at that point, 2012. Like, this is how this is done. Like, what was that like to just sort of, you saw the Blackhawks win it a couple years, before you guys. Like, this is what it takes to win the championship.
Yeah, we got really lucky in terms of our star players were all team guys.
Yeah.
And, we laugh about it now because now on the other side of working with the Kings now and kind of on the management coaching side where you – saying how lucky we were where you had Andre Kopitar, Drew Doughty, and Jonathan Quick. And all three of those guys, they don't care about individual awards. They don't care about individual accolades. And at the time when we were playing, they were all top five in the world in their position. And that was the difference right there. And so it was never, there was never from the top where a guy was worried about his points or his ice time or when he was going to play and, what role he was going to have. And so we were really lucky with those three guys that everybody else was slotted in behind them, and you kind of had to be happy because they were happy with sacrificing their ice time too to let other guys succeed. And then we had a great coach, and we had great middle leadership of guys that just wanted to win. And probably two of our bigger players after that were Mike Richards and Jeff Carter. They both came from Philly. They've had the individual success. They were the leaders of that franchise for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they came here and all they wanted to do was win.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Where do you want to play? Both of them said, don't care.
Yeah.
Put us wherever you want. And then we had a guy, Justin Williams, who he came from Carolina. So he was on his third team with us. They beat us in when I was playing for Edmonton, they beat us in game 7 in the 06 Cup. And so again, he was another one of our leaders and one of our, skilled players. He was only about winning. And so when it goes that deep through your lineup, if you get anybody new who all of a sudden says, Oh no, I want this, I want that, I want this, that's not how we do it here.
Yeah.
We do it to win. We don't do it for points. And if you want a contract, win, you'll get a better contract.
You guys tied the best playoff record was going 16-4, right? Was that 12 or 14?
That was in 12.
That was 12.
That was in 12, yeah. And I think, still upset. I think some of the other guys are too. I think we were up 3-0 on Jersey, and then we lost two. If we would have won in one of those games, I think we could have had the record. And I think we thought it wouldn't get touched. And then, Colorado tied it this year. But it's crazy, though, because you look at Colorado and everybody's saying, oh, my God, they haven't lost and they haven't done this, they haven't done that. And if they win tonight, they could tie the Kings. And you're like, holy shit, we did. We did go through pretty quick.
Yeah.
So it was a good run. It was a lot of fun. I think this is a community that it's probably the closest you're going to get to college or junior mentality where guys aren't so spread out. Like, I remember when I was playing at Edmonton, I'd live 45 minutes away from guys, an hour away from guys. And when you're here, especially the teams that we had too, where everybody was pretty much in their mid to late 20s, early 30s, and the farthest you lived away from a guy was a 5-minute car ride, probably a 10-minute bike ride. So it was impossible not to have fun, hang out. There was no, all right, let's grab beer after the game. Oh, I can't. I got to bring the kids home, and I'm just gonna sit at home tonight. No, I was like, all right, yeah, I'll bring the kids home, and then I'll meet you at North End in 20 minutes.
Nice. Yep. Love North
End. That's awesome. Yeah. Now, did you you played for one of the big powerhouse colleges, or the University of North Dakota State? Was that it?
UND, Dakota. University of North Dakota. Okay. Yeah.
Did you win a championship there?
I didn't know. My last year there, we lost to Denver in the finals.
Yeah. But that now has become one of, like, has it always been a powerhouse hockey?
Yeah.
It has.
Yeah, no, it was always a great team. They had a good program. They had a really good program there. It's funny, though, I didn't know anything about it just because I think you're kind of, again, like growing up in Michigan, it's the Wings were the team that we watched on TV, but then, my parents had season tickets to the Spartans, to Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of, that was my, like, it was the Spartans first, and then it was the Wings, you know, just being able to kind of go to the games. I never went to a Wings game until I played in it. And so I just, for me, the, it's called the WCHA, Western Conference Hockey Association.
Yeah, like Ferris State.
Or there, CCHA, right? North Dakota's in the WCHA, and I just, that for me, that didn't exist. You know, that was something that I think one team would come to the GLI maybe once a year, but other than that, it was CCHA. It was Michigan State, Michigan Ferris, Lake State,
Lake Superior State,
Michigan Tech, Northern Michigan. Bowling Green, maybe Alaska Fairbanks, University of Chicago, Illinois at one point, and then they dropped out, but. Those were the teams that kind of grew up on. And then during the recruiting process, I was going to play juniors, and I got drafted by this team in Sioux City. And this was a guy, coach was Dave Haxtell, and I was 16, and we had a great relationship. And I said, okay, I'm going to go play in Sioux City. And he got the job as the assistant coach in North Dakota. He had gone there as a student. And so we said, okay, well, yeah, we'll meet up, you know, sometime, whatever. And then I was playing juniors in Green Bay after that. And he came, he called, and he said, "Would you want to come to North Dakota?" I said, "Yeah, no, absolutely." And so he's the one who's responsible for me getting there, and it's been good. Now he's had a great career. He's coached in Philly, and now he's the head coach of the Kraken.
Oh wow,
Seattle. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a small world. Because even when I was in Minnesota, I saw advertisements, big billboards, you know, recruiting for the University of North Dakota.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, wait, Greener went there.
Yeah.
You were just outside of Brainerd, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so you get up in that area, you get about 3 hours north of Minnesota.
Yep.
It turns quick, you know, and it's that's North Dakota country there. Like Northwest Minnesota is very, very, they recruit very heavily out of there.
Yeah.
Huh. Yep.
And is there a lot of hockey camps up there too that are year round?
Hockey camps, summertime camps. I went to camp there for about 10, 11 years. And made some great friends, lifelong friends out of there. But yeah, it's a hockey hotbed, you know, that whole Northwest area, and those guys, they're, you know, especially a lot of those kids coming from, they're Winnipeg Jets fans instead of Wild fans. Yeah. Like it's that, you know, it's that corner's pretty, it's pretty quiet, you know, in terms of, you know, the buzz from Minneapolis. So a lot of those guys go towards North Dakota and Winnipeg and as their favorite teams.
Well, I know Mark Skogstad, who is, you know, one of the friends of the pod from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I was really excited that you're coming on the pod today. So God bless Skogie, a friend of the pod there. Let's talk about what you did when you had the cup. Like, that's one of the greatest achievements of the world to lift and raise.
It's my favorite.
One of the, yeah. I mean, just, and like everyone watches that. Like, you just don't turn off the television after you see them win the Stanley Cup. You watch it. What was going through your head when you actually like raised the cup?
We were talking about this today. Is just ask you a question about kind of being done with, you know, being retired.
Yeah,
and it's weird. It's you think it's going to be joy. You think it's going to be just you know, exhilarating and everything. And yeah, it's a rush. Like you get a big rush, but it's also just relief. You did it. And
yeah,
it's something you've been dreaming about for years, and it's and the other thing that's really cool is that it's what your best friends have been dreaming about for years, and so you get to see somebody that you admire and respect and love, you know, pick it up for the first time, and then you get to see another guy that he passes it to getting to live his dream, and the next guy gets to live his dream, and then you get to, and then you pass it to the next guy, and so it's more of just It's excitement for the guys because it's finally something you've worked your entire life for, but then it's relief where it's okay, I did it. And not I did it, it's we did it. And we did it right. And you don't have to guess anymore. You don't have to say, well, what if I would have done this? What if I would have done that? No, I fucking did it. And I did it the right way. And we did it. And we were all part of it. And we made it happen. It's a cool feeling. It's a cool feeling, but it's definitely different than it's, you know, I don't know what you think it's going to be or what you see in the movies.
What do you do when you had the day in the life of the cup with you for the 24 hours, when the first time?
First time, I think it's it's, I think what people don't get is just the logistics of everything, of how that thing gets around the world. Yeah. And so, you know, they tell you, they say, okay, it's, you know, it can fly into Detroit and we can fly it into Lansing, but to get to Lansing, it's going to be, you know, once it lands in Detroit, it'll be 4 hours till it gets to Lansing. So, you know, it's a 2 hour drive. So what do you want to do? Okay. All right. I'll come and I'll pick you up. So you drive over there, you pick them up. And so one of our friends from she married a guy from Grand Legend. She lived in LA. So she was flying at the same time. So I picked up, the guy, the handler with the cup, our buddy's wife and the cup, and just tossed it in the back of a pickup truck, and we just drove 2 hours west to Grand Ledge.
With the Stanley Cup in the back of the pickup truck.
No, just in the trunk that it comes in.
Oh my god!
So you just load it in this nondescript trunk, and all right, yeah, let's go. High five the guy. All right, let's go. Let's get ready to go. And he's like, okay, cool. You mind if I get some sleep? Mm-hmm. Get some sleep.
So now all of a sudden you got some new teammates coming in. You're making another run for the cup titled number two. You win it. What's that celebration like? Where you again, okay, here you are now. You achieved your dreams. Now it was like you guys wanted it so bad and you guys got it. And you guys beat the Rangers. First the Devils, then the Rangers. You beat them in 6 games, wasn't it?
Rangers, five.
5 games, yeah. So what did you do differently with the second time you had the trophy in your hand?
That was just different because that was, I mean, when in 12 with the Devils there, we were up early. You know, they had a 5-minute major. I think we scored 3 goals on that in the first. And so we were cruising all game. And then we ended up winning, I think, like 6-2 or something like that. Yeah. So it was, you know, on the bench, guys were pumped and everything. And then against the Rangers, double overtime.
Yeah,
Martinez scored. And so after that, it was just kind of like, it was boom. It was just instant. Like, it was 0-60. But same feeling, same everything. And hanging out in the locker room after was awesome, and it was great. It was great. I think took it a little slower, I think, that time, though.
Yeah.
We're really just kind of, you know, and I got lucky, too. I got to, the first one, my parents were gone. They were in Africa doing a project that my mom had. My mom's a photographer, and so she had this trip planned with this grant that she got from Michigan State. And so her and my dad were in West Africa during the last 2 rounds, I think, of 12.
Oh, wow.
And so I just get these sad, sad voicemails from my dad just being like, hey, you know, internet's not working here. If you could give me a call back and let me know how the game went, that'd be great. You know,
oh,
like,
God.
Did he win? You know? and so, but you couldn't get a hold of him. You couldn't do this. And so then in 14, we got a chance to go again. And he was there for it. And so, and my brother was there and my nephew was there. So it was good to have them on the ice. Cause the first one, yeah, like we only, it was just Alyssa kind of came on. So people are like, where's your family? Where's this? Where's that? And I'm like, nobody's here.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's just roll. So yeah, the second time was a lot of fun. It was awesome. And to experience with them, it was really nice. And then, with the first one, UND, Dave Haxtell, again, he was the head coach at UND at the time. He called me, with the first one. He said, hey, I got to ask. And he goes, say no, no hard feelings. He's like, would you bring it up to North Dakota for the first, you know, with the day for the cup? People are asking, boosters are asking. And I go, I can't. And I go, I said, I'm going to do it in Grand Ledge and I have to. And he goes, perfect. Thanks. And he goes, all good. He goes, I just had to, he goes, I got a call to tell people that I called.
Yeah.
And he goes, we're all good.
Yeah.
And so then we won it the second time and I called him and I was like, okay. And I go, if you guys are still serious about that, we can do it. He goes, okay, sounds good. And, so same thing, went down, picked it up in Detroit, drove the same guy back, had breakfast with it in the morning at my parents' house, took some pictures, had some people kind of hang out, went to the Lansing Airport, and a jet picked us up from donated from North Dakota, and we flew up there, and we just had a great time with all college buddies. And,
that's awesome.
That's
and,
great.
And just kind of hitting some, you know, started just hit some dive bars, some bars that we hung out in, you know, in college days, and had a really good time. The community there is awesome. It's a special community. If you don't have a reason to go to Grand Forks, I'm not going to tell you to go. If you do, you'll have a good time.
Okay.
See, that just speaks volumes about your character, Matt. I mean, like, you went back there with, of all places, you went back and you did it. And that's just a great characteristic about who you are as a person. And, you know, it just speaks volumes. And to go back to your alma mater and bring that back there when you know you could and you didn't have to, that's just awesome. That's awesome. So what was the craziest thing that you personally did with the cup?
Oh, geez. It's just funny stuff. Like, just it's... We just poured drinks all the time. Did a lot of that. Really poured a lot of drinks out of it.
Do you do like the fish tank style where you had a bunch of straws coming out of it too, making mixed drinks or anything? Or
going to Baja like... Sharkies?
Yeah.
Not too much. No, we stayed away from Baja Sharkies or fish bowls. We just did a lot of beer, a little bit of whiskey in Grand Forks, but a lot of beer and just a lot of champagne. But yep. It was great though too. Like that's kind of the thing that will... For the first one ever, like, my family came to Grand Ledge, and so, again, this is the part kind of took out of there where I did the party at my parents' house, and then we had, like, an hour before we went down to the bar, just walked down there, and people started opening up champagne, people started doing everything, and then all of a sudden, like, the little cousins start coming out, and you see the parents, you know, like, all right, well, who else wants one?
Yeah.
And it's my cousin who hasn't said a word all night, she just goes... Me.
Yeah.
Boom. Down underneath, and she just has her kids right behind her, you know, 13, 14 that. Years old. She goes, it's never going to happen again.
Never.
Come on. Get
up.
In.
Yep.
Get in. And then it's everybody gets in, and then it's people are laughing. People are hanging out. People are just, it's such a good, and like I said, it's just, it's magical, and you can't explain it. You can't replicate it with anything else, and it's, you know, I loved getting married. I thought it was awesome. Like, your wedding day is obviously a beautiful day.
And you've talked constantly about how much you love your wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day. Yeah.
It's every conversation. It's kind of annoying.
But it's, no, it's just, it's a different, because it's everybody's day. And that's the thing. It's not like, you know, you go to a wedding, there's two people up there and you're kind of, you know, everybody's focused on them and everything like that. You go to this party, it's like, no, man, it's like, once I get to the cup, that's my day.
Yeah.
Like, that's my time. Like, I've been waiting 56 years for this, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I've been scrubbing teeth and fucking doing root canals. No, this is my time.
Yeah.
And now it's time for me to take a shot out of this thing. So it's cool.
That is so cool. That's gotta be one of the coolest feelings ever.
We gotta go win a cup.
I mean, just being around somebody who can have the cup there, you know?
Yeah. We gotta win the podcast.
Hopefully the Kings can bring it back home again and we could be so lucky to be near it or whatever, but I mean, it was great. I remember being in Manhattan Beach, and my oldest son, Grayson, was. I brought him to one of the parades right there, going through Highland and everything. Or was it Highland? No, it was Manhattan Beach Boulevard, and what's the bottom street called?
Manhattan Ave.
Manhattan Ave.
They went down right by Skechers.
Yeah. They had, like, you know, you have the SWAT team in front of the players and everything. It was just beautiful to see all them. And it was awesome. I mean, like, obviously South Bay loves the Kings, and, you know, you guys are, like, considered, like, heroes around here and everything. And, you know, it was awesome just to see and experience that. I was actually at that Game 5 when you guys beat the Rangers. That was pretty cool. I've never been to a Stanley Cup final. Always wanted to do that, so that's a bucket list that I checked off, and had to be the Kings. And happened to be you playing in there, which I didn't know you at the time. So just awesome all around. Let's get into some localization over here.
Let's do this.
Do some localization. Okay. You hockey players are known for just loving dive bars. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to have to ask, and Chris and I want to know.
I got
to
hear this.
What are your top 10 dive bars in L.A.? If you have top 10. If you have five, what are your top five dive bars in all of L.A.?
I think start in South Bay. Northen's not even a dive anymore.
No, it's a little too classy. Like, no. You can almost take your wife there.
Yeah.
They got the outdoor seating there.
My favorite story of all time at North End was we were hanging out there right away when I got traded. I lived across the street, that big white house on the Strand. And I went over there. There's a, you know, a couple people introduced me to people over there. So we started going there after games. I'll never forget it. The owner, John, and Janelle, great people. And I think John came up to me at one point, and he was like, oh, thanks a lot. He's like, this is great. This is unbelievable. We're like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, like, you know, since you guys started coming in here, we finally redid the woman's bathroom. He's like, now we got girls coming in here all the time. This is awesome. You know? And they're like, okay, right on, yeah. So I asked Alyssa, I was like, was it really that bad? She's like, oh, it was bad. It was bad, yeah. But yeah, now it's a classy joint. But like, North End, Irks,
Love Urk's.
Yeah, Urk's is awesome.
That's burger.
It's a great burger and just all time. Like, there's always something funny going on. Characters in there, too.
Yeah.
You start going a little bit north, Harbor Room.
Down in Playa del Rey.
Yeah.
I didn't know that place existed till like 5 months ago.
That's right. We went.
You took me.
Yep.
It's smallest bar in all of LA.
Cash only.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best ones always are.
Yeah.
Don't ask for a mixed, like, don't ask for an old fashioned or Manhattan there. Just
No.
It's like booze and a soda or booze on the rocks and beer. All right. So we got the Harbor Room going north. What else? So that's four.
We used to do a crawl too, so this is kind of, I'm just rattling up the spots on this.
We should put together a crawl, by the way.
Dad's crawl.
Yeah,
Nice. Dad's really crawl. Nice. Yeah,
I love that.
But then you keep going. Hanino.
In Venice.
Yeah,
right there in Washington.
Yep. Hanino's awesome. Then you go up
Washington. Good burger again.
Yeah, another great really burger. Yeah, and then Cozy Inn.
Cozy Inn. Yeah,
Culver. Cozy Inn's
right
beautiful.
Off 405.
Yeah, that's great.
They got Coors Banquet in bottles.
They do. Yeah. They do. Delicious, too. Delicious. Mm. Lost and Found over in the same area there. It's in a strip mall. They got a bunch of office chairs.
Hmm.
There's chairs there. It's really nice.
Anything downtown?
Downtown, King Eddie's. Which I think might be closed now, but that was right off of Skid Row. That was awesome. I really love that place. It was like a really good punk vibe. That was awesome. Then there was this bar that I think it was on 7th Street or something like that. Not on 7th. It was a little bit higher up. But I remember going in there one time, and I walked in, and there was a horse like from a carousel face down in the bar and just like pointing straight up. I was looking at it. I was like, this place is awesome. You know, just a real dive. Old style sign out in front of it.
Baby.
Escondite.
Yeah. And so we walk in there and I'm looking around and all of a sudden I see this guy. I got a friend of ours who plays this German, character. And it's a picture of this guy and this bearded man, you know, right next to it. I was like, oh, okay. So I text the guy that I know that plays a German character who is a German character if he's listening to this. And he goes, oh yeah, that's my spot. The guy next to him is the owner. You know, he loved that place. It's awesome. Okay. So we hang out there for the night. Fast forward a few years later, I'm at Tommy Reed's for NFC Championship Weekend or something like that. And I'm talking to this guy. He's like, yeah, I own bars downtown. I own this, right. I own that. And I own the Escondite. And I said, oh, okay, yeah. I go, you got like a sister bar? And he just looks at me. He's like, no, I don't. I'm like, get the fuck away from me. Who is this guy? You know? And I'm just like, oh, okay, all right. Because I'm pretty sure I saw like a picture of you and a guy named Hino. And then like this like carousel. And he just turns and he's like, where was that? And I go, it's on like the street with like the lights hanging across there. And he's like, how do you know Hino? And yes, that was my bar too. Yeah, nice. Now I'm in the
bar 107.
Day. That was it.
Bar 107. Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah. So that was another beautiful spot there. But yeah, downtown has just these awesome haunts. That are just so good, man. And I feel like it's just so underrated. Tony's Saloon, Villains. Shit, man, I could go on for days.
Right, sure.
Of these spots.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yep.
Well, that's going to lead you right into then, what are your top three burgers of L.A.? You got some good dive burgers there, but what are your top?
I got two of them already there with Urk's and with Hanino.
So, you got Urk's burger is fantastic, and so is Hanino right there. Escondite, is that one of your, is that up there?
Oh, yeah.
Burgers?
Yeah, it was delicious. Yeah.
What's the burger I had after the UCLA game?
It's called the John Belucci's.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's maybe
it was tremendous.
To me, one of my favorite burgers in all of Los Angeles, which has actually won the Zagat Guide twice for
really?
This burger in California.
Whose recipe is it?
It's Tranny's.
Really?
Yeah, it's Brian Huck's. Yeah.
God bless him.
Hauk.
The gluttony that goes on in that place every time we go is awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
It's awesome.
Tranny has a really good spot down there. So, all right. So, we got your top dives, top burgers. Let's get into some dad stuff. All right. Here we go. Exciting stuff here, folks. We got Royalty with Matt Green here.
Let's this talk cooler about, is a lot lighter than it was when the podcast started.
Just for our listeners here, this is like almost like a a rhythm going on here. It's like surf waves going on. You could see another set coming in.
Yeah.
I think they're already through a 12-pack here. And it's just a Monday evening. So
it's a Monday.
It's going really good.
Well, I thought it was Tuesday.
Sports. Tuesday. Sports being a Stanley Cup winner, being a former professional athlete, and now all of a sudden you have children. And everyone's like, oh, immediately your kids are going to go right into the same sport you did. You know, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. What was your parenting philosophy and trying to see if your son would like the sport even?
Just to try everything. Try everything, but then also with the minute you sign up for something, you finish the season.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so you can, Bruce and James, they can sign up for whatever they want. That's awesome. But once you do it, you got to finish the season.
Yeah.
And then you can be honest. Do you want to do it again? Yes or no? And if you don't, that's fine. That's okay. And I think, you know, we'll figure it out. I think, obviously, James isn't doing a lot of, you know, she hasn't played hockey yet. She's not doing, we'll get her into soccer. And she's doing dance and theater and stuff like that. And tennis. She's having a good time.
Oh, that's great.
Then Bruce is in hockey and baseball. And, you know, he wants to play it all. And
yeah.
If he comes to me next year and says, I don't want to play hockey anymore, then that's awesome. Because, you know what? I spend enough time in a rink.
Yeah.
And if he wants to do something else, hopefully it's surfing, volleyball, anything, you know, yeah. And something
BCS
new.
BCS flag football?
I would love it because it's something that I know nothing about. And it'd be so nice to just say, okay, hands off, parent, get the pom-poms out, and just have fun.
Man, because he's got a left arm that is a slinger.
I know. He was at the beach a couple weeks ago watching my kid. It was great.
And he's bigger than like
they were playing catch.
He's bigger. He's as big as kids that are two grades ahead of him.
Yeah.
So I know fall is always really hardcore hockey. That goes into like probably where spring season does he. So he does baseball in the spring. Would you be open to how long he can play two sports?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think he does. He does hockey and soccer in the fall, and so I think it's just a matter of what he wants to do. And I'd love to get him involved in football. I think that'd be great.
That'd be awesome. What was it like when you had your second child and you already had your boy, but now you got your girl?
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's different, obviously. And it's the whole thing of, I'm sure you guys went through it too, where everybody's like, God, you know, yeah, I'm happy with anything. I'm happy with anything that's healthy. But, you know, kind of the back of your mind, you're like, all right, well, I already know I am a boy.
Yeah.
I know how to raise a boy, or at least I know more than raising a boy that I don't know how to raise a girl
because
I haven't yet. And then the minute that little sucker comes out there, it's like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Yep.
And they're just so, it's just different. It's different. Like the love for both of them obviously is equal and the same. It's just, it's different. It's special. And it's, again, it's something that you wish everybody can enjoy because it's the same. It's kind of, I'm looking at you guys right now and it's the same thing when we talked about with the cup. Where it's like you guys know exactly how we all feel.
Right.
It's a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah.
It is. What type of values are you instilling that you grew up with that you want to instill into your children?
Just honesty. It's okay to make mistakes. Just, you know, be honest. Be honest. We all make mistakes. We make mistakes today. I'm here a day early.
You're beautiful.
Yeah, so I mean I'm 39, still fucking up.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, just be honest, own it, try hard, be vulnerable, be willing to put yourself out there and, you know, take it and own it and have fun and realize fuck, it's, you know, life can be fun.
Just absolutely.
Just don't stress too hard.
And, yeah.
And have fun and have a good time and be a stand-up guy and or girl and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Siblings, fights. It's not easy. You had an older brother and an older sister. You're the baby. How do you handle disciplining the siblings when you see them fight and all that? Because it's not easy. Sometimes you could come home with a long day and, you know, Alyssa could be like, dude, I had my wits end and now you come in and what are you going to do?
It's hard. It's hard because you kind of, yeah, that's really hard. It's a hard balance. I think it's, you know, kids are sensitive and it's also, it's, you know, one's the instigator.
Yep.
Not even by the day, but by the minute.
Oh, yeah.
you know, where they feel that, okay, all right, things are going my way now, so now I'm going to push it.
Oh, God.
And how the hell do you do it? Like, how the hell do you turn it off or turn it on? And I don't know. I just, it's trying something lately where I just, the more positive you can be, the better. Or yeah. else.
Which is a good way to live life in general.
Well, fuck. Because it's so easy to go the other way.
Yeah. All the negative energy and all that stuff. I mean, you know, I took the kids. We had a nice little Costco run, Tommy, on Saturday with the kids.
Nice.
And my God, they were like holding hands in the parking lot and super excited to get some snacks for the week. My daughter's in junior guards and all that. And then we get home and they're just like, they're going to go play. And they're like acting out something that they wrote. And then 5 minutes later, like Laney punched him or something because he's fucking annoying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you just want to come in and be like, I'm not listening to this. You know what I mean? But they also have to learn how to work it through.
Yep.
But they're also like, it's your reaction as well can increase or decrease like the blood level, right? You just come in and say, hey, she didn't mean it. Just say you're sorry. Like, we're all good. It doesn't have to be a thing. Hmm. Positive energy.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. Because you're dealing with your own shit too and you're stressed. And
yeah.
I think I did it the other day. There was Saturday. We were going to Legoland in the morning. I think I was... Alyssa said, we got in the car, and Alyssa's like, all right, no, let's, you know, he's too close to the bush, so pull off there, and I'll hop in. And while I'm doing this, I left James unbuckled in the back and Bruce unbuckled because I was literally driving 3 feet. Both of them burst into tears that they're not buckled up. And so
far, safety first for the green kids.
Though. All it is, though, is just, all right, Abby, all right, it's going to happen. And I just look out the window, and Alyssa's like, oh, like, what the hell just happened in there? And I was,
oh, yeah.
Just give me a second. She's like, well, you can relax. Just give me a second.
Yeah.
Just give me a second. You weren't in the car. You're not allowed to hear that.
Yeah.
Just give me a second. All right.
I got this.
Oh, cool, it's almost awesome. Empty. That's for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll grab you another one. Edit that out.
Yeah, no, I won't edit it out. People need to know what's happening.
No, that's great. What do you like to do with your daddy time?
Matt's doing a beer run for me. This is the most gracious guest that we've had.
The Keystone lights are going down over here. It's like a river.
Poor
right
Tommy.
Here. I'm looking at him drooling over here. Daddy time. What do you like to do when it's just you and the kids, and like you're not going to get judged by the wife or anything? It's just daddy time now.
I think my favorite time is we had a good stretch there of once the season was done and doing just Friday night movie night. And pizzas, sitting down on the couch and just watching a movie and just snuggling and just hanging. And that's it. And just, you know, and again, fight's going to break out every 10 minutes. Somebody's going to be complaining about
something. Now, does Bruce know yet to pull the sweater over?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
Not yet. I think he's being pretty gentle. All but right. Like,
does he put tin foil on his knuckles?
No tin foil. Okay. Does put foil on, yeah. But... like in a span of like 3 to 4 years, like James is gonna kick the shit out of him.
Yep.
And it's not even close. Like it's gonna be he's gonna have a rude awakening pretty quick.
Nice.
Yeah, which is scary.
Yep. That's how it goes.
Yep.
Dad jokes. Did you have any growing up that your dad would say to you? And do you have anything that you always say to your kids?
Yeah. I hold back a little bit because I remember how frustrated they made me when he was telling me them, but no, he was out here for, they're out here over the 4th of July for their 50th anniversary. And one of my nephews is 13 years old. And so he kept giving him the point of the shirt, you know. And so then my nephew would look down and, you know, give him a flick. And he has a way of just figuring out how to prey on people for this. And I hate it. And he does it to adults. He does it to everybody. And And he's a nice guy, and he's a sweet guy. And so, like, that's all I heard growing up. It's like, oh, I just met your dad. He's so sweet. He's so nice. Jeez, like, what the hell happened to you? And it's like, okay, all right, well, you don't know the same guy, you know? And so that was it. And then the other one was you'd stumble or you'd catch your foot on something. And he'd be like, yeah, have a nice trip. See you next fall.
Oh, God. I love that.
Love that.
And he would pound that home relentlessly over and over and over again, and you just be like, shut up, and then I'll just be like a little smile. Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna say it again as soon as I can. I'll say it again. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Technology, it's always one that we always struggle with, isn't it, Chris?
Yes.
Video games to Xbox to iPads to iPhones to iWatches. What's your philosophy on technology? I know everyone has a different feeling about it. Sometimes they're great to use in clutch times. How are you with technology?
It's hard, man, because it's life's tough.
Yeah.
You know, life's tough. And to say, like, all right, no, I'm just going to do this, and that's the way it is, and they got to adapt to this, and they got, it doesn't fucking work. Like, you just got to, like, some days suck. And if that's, if, you know, what's going to get you, what's going to get them fed and out the door in the morning and dressed and ready for school is, you know, 20 minutes of iPad so you can get your fucking life together.
Yeah.
Then that's what's needed, you know? And that's, that's my view on it.
I agree.
If you're going on a flight and, you know, junk food and everything because you're at your wit's end and you're losing your mind and, you know, an iPad and headphones are going to get you through that and it's going to make your life easier that day, then okay, I'm in.
I mean, Amy called me driving up in Minnesota because she went before us and they were in the car and his iPad just died, right? So I get to Minnesota and I'm trying to fix it. And I can't fix it. It's dead. It's brick. So I got to go buy another one because, like, the four-hour drive home, the four-hour flight, us taking a road trip next month, like, none of that is happening if there's no iPad. That's just what it is, right? And our parents used to worry about us watching too much TV. Dukes of Hazzard, you know. So yeah, I don't open the car door. I go in through the window. But other than that, it's everything's been fine, right? And
no, but you got to adapt to the time, too. Yeah. Like, you can't... We can't raise our kids like how we were raised. Mm-mm. It's a different world. And it's the same thing. And if you want to do that, okay, well then what's like, I don't know, like you got to be Amish.
Yep. Yeah. You know? Which doesn't work. I'm
no,
trying.
It's not going to work here. Not going to work here.
It's like Tommy's basically Amish right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What are they called?
Go build me a wagon.
Yeah. Rumspringer or something like that? Tommy's been on Rumspringer for years.
Man.
40 years Tommy's been on Rumspringer.
Let me tell you. I remember going through Amish country and...
Beautiful craftsmanship.
I mean, they had the sarsaparilla jugs out in front, their version of root beer or whatever it was, and just leave money however much you think it's worth. I'm like, Dad, what are you going to give? He's like, I don't know. The first batch is worth shit. So I'm like, Dad, do we just take it? He's like, nah, I'm going to give a good old Abe Lincoln. Mm. You know, he looks Amish. I'm like, all right.
$5, jeez.
Yeah, well, I think the first one gave him heartburn, and he was pissed off for the rest of the trip. So.
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, I think the last question we always like to end with is, how do you want to be remembered as a dad?
Just loving, caring. Kind and supportive
and punctual,
very punctual, almost overly punctual.
Your kids are going to be going to school next year on Sundays. Like, hey, where is everybody?
I love it.
Day late, a buck short.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a new section, folks.
No, Tommy, I can't tell you how excited I am for this.
I mean,
I'm number one. I was excited for that sound.
It is the best sound that leads right into this.
You are an American hero right now, sitting through this.
What is this new segment we have that we're going to put in every show moving forward? What is this section called?
Friends of the Pod, Tommy.
Friends of the Pod. Mm-hmm. And we've been getting pounced with text, calls, emails every now and then from friends from you haven't heard from from grade school.
Yeah.
Here we go. Friends of the Pod. It's our chance to give shout outs to our listeners and those who are keeping us fueled up to keep on doing this great podcast that we love. And we have a sponsor for this
is
segment.
Amazing, by the way.
Tell us about our sponsor.
So the handsome and tall Brooke Billings, local powerhouse realtor, has been a friend of the pod basically since the beginning.
Since the beginning.
And I met him a few years ago because our kids went to preschool together. And I was putting together Dad's Night Out. And I just have this roster of emails.
Yep.
And so there's Brooke Billings, and then there's Brett Billings. So I was like, well, I'll email Brett and the dad. And then I'm sending these emails like, hey, we're going to go to Grunion's, tell your wife it's for the kids. And then Brett, who's a woman and the wife, emails me and says, hey, do you want me to forward these to my husband, Brooke? And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. We love our wives. And so that's kind of how he and I met. And great guy, great family, huge supporter of the pod since we started.
Yep.
He's sponsoring the Friends of the Pod segment.
You
know, which is fantastic.
And I know that you know Brett Brooke Billings, too.
I do. I do. I met him through a good friend, Chris Acasa, through the volleyball scene, and couldn't find kinder, nicer, caring guy. He's an awesome, awesome individual, and really enjoy my time hanging out with him, texting with him, and yeah. But what a good soul, good human being. He's a good man.
With great taste in podcasts.
Yeah.
I must say.
Very good taste in podcasts. Yeah.
Well, we're going to give out some shout-outs, but before we give out the shout-outs, folks, we want to let you know, Friends of the Pod is brought to you by South Bay's luxury realtor, Brooke Billings. If you're looking for a home to buy or sell Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, or anywhere in the South Bay, look no further, as no one gets the best results and the most market value for your home is no other than the super dad himself, Brooke Billings, servicing his hometown of Manhattan Beach for many, many years. So we're going to get him on here, and he's a super stud volleyball player, All-American, traveled the world playing professional volleyball. He's going to come on the pod, talk about, you know, tips and tricks about your house, little things you can do that aren't going to break the bank. And he gets listings before they even hit the market. If is there anybody that you're going to say that's moving to Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, or anywhere in the South Bay, there's no one other than Brooke Billings is the only realtor you should ever work with.
100%.
So thank you, Brooke, for your sponsorship and for giving these shout outs. We're going to give out big shout outs to our listeners in Raleigh, who are Dr. Tom Weber, Darren and Preston Mock, Peter Francia. We got Steve Jones in Brooklyn, who went glamping this weekend.
Oh, did he bring Brooklyn glamping?
We did a little Brooklyn in El Cap.
Oh, yeah,
we have Gabby
here.
McCooey, Lon Sorensen.
Saw Gabby today.
Bill Kotzman, Casey Edgar, Ray Jackson, Alexi Wall, Jeff Nicosa of the BCS. We have Jared Kuza from Hermosa, Karen and Scott Van Cleve of Manhattan Beach, John Kim of Redondo, our one and only Van Hess.
Co-coach, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. We have all the way in Minnesota, Mark Skogie Skogstead. Okay, there you go. Big fan of Matt Greener. So excited for this. Mike Hoffman, also a huge hockey fan. So excited to listen to this. He's out of Cincinnati. We have our traveling Chad Kelly, who's over in Thailand, sent me an email being like, dude, I'm a friend of the pod. You got to mention these guys.
International.
Without you guys,
up.
We don't have a show, and we appreciate you guys just listening and sending it out there. We have a great episode today with Matt Green, who's a day early on our podcast, and we are just so excited about it. And let me tell you, I
do want to say I cooked with a Mark Montpaul Lemon today.
I actually have to think that this podcast has an asterisk because there's going to be a part two here with Biff Greener. Like, he's got to give us like the right day so I can get some of these.
We just got to figure out what day we want him.
And then ask
for a different day.
Yes, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. But look, we got him on here. He said he would do it, and he delivered. So thank you, Matt, for
coming
on the
pod. You did, Matt. You brought a 30-pack of Keystones, which is now like an 8-pack, probably.
I think you're basically on your last beer.
Yeah, we are. This is going to be a great Tuesday morning. I can't wait to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to exercise. I'm retired now.
Yeah.
I'm going to prepare for the Matt Green podcast.
It's great.
It's going to be awesome.
No, tomorrow will be great, guys.
Well, everyone, thanks for taking your time to listen to the Dad's Night podcast brought to you by the Believe Network. Please like and share with a friend or two that you think enjoy this ridiculous banter. I can't even say it straight anymore. So, Chris,
you are an American hero tonight. You came in. You are in the zone. You can't drink anything. And you did it. Great job.
I did it.
Running on 3 crackers and half a bar.
Kale crackers.
Soup and one green bowl of piss.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Prolon.
Yeah, sponsored. Exactly.
Never.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening.
Tommy, what's our Instagram?
Daz Night Podcast.
What's our email?
DazNightPodcast@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts on people you like to have in the South Bay on, and we'll try to do our best.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you
guys
tomorrow, Matt.
Yep.
Bye.